John chapter 11. The Gospel of John chapter 11. That would be the one right after Luke, in case you're checking it out. John chapter 11, I'm not even going to look down. I memorized it. Verse 35, Jesus wept. I don't think I've ever preached from that particular scripture before. But something happened this week, and as we prepare for this morning's sermon, and we think about those two little words, we're going to look at them again from a whole nother way. Jesus wept. Would you please pray with me? Father, set our hearts aside and let our labors be not for what is outside the doors, but let us labor this morning to discern your word, to hear the message from you through me to our ears, that we may be continually reminded of Jesus Christ, that we may be made ready to wake up and leave from here, walking closer with him, following closer his word, and getting more of that will for our life. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. I understand things now different as a parent. I understand why my father a lot of times looked at me and went like this. Oh, golly. Because I'm a parent. And there's not just one of me, there's two of me. And what one doesn't think of, the other one does. And I have to look at things so differently. The stuff I used to take for granted or have a very casual attitude toward when I was a single man, you look at things differently. Children change those things. I don't care what you say. I don't care how big and tough you think you are. Your mind changes. You don't view things the same anymore. You become protective in a different way. You become more full of things. You become more focused. You become more directed. And if you're a Christian-founded parent, you really feel Christ. You really feel Jesus Christ more as your children progress. You begin to understand, even if it's only that much, you begin to understand what Jesus would go through, who he was, what he felt. And so I had to laugh. Unfortunately, it quit snowing and I was going to have some fun with that. But the shortest verse in the Bible is not the least. Far from it. Jesus wept. In 1515 or whatever it was, they decided to break the Bible into verses. Before King James took it over and we began to know the King James Version. In the 1500s, the only version that there was the Latin Vulgate, but they began to break it into verses so that it would flow and that it would become more understanding. And can you imagine when the scholars came to that point in the translation and sat down and said, what do we do with two words? We'll make them stand by themselves so that they carry his entire weight. Jesus wept. Let me explain to you where this comes from. Thursday night, I had to go to the basketball game and be there to pick up Wally. We were running team duty. You know, that's a parent thing. Team duty. When my wife and I, whom I thought we were more intelligent than we were, when she first found out that she was pregnant, we said, well, we ain't going to do all these things that other parents do. Let me give you a list. Number one, we ain't going to take a bunch of babies to a restaurant and bother everybody else by screaming, crying babies. We broke that rule 2 months out. Because there are times you don't even want to see the kitchen or another bib, so you take them to the restaurant. And then we sat around and laughed at all those people that didn't have children and looked at us like this. So that was fun. We're going to be different with our kids. We're going to let them choose and be a little bit more free and experience life. Well, that went right out the door. The minute they started walking, put that down. Get away from there. Stop it. And I told her from the day one, I am not running all over creation chasing around these children from this event to that event. We're a family. We live at home. I grew up on a farm. When I came home from the school bus, I went and worked on the farm. I didn't go racing around all over the countryside. Of course, I forgot about 4-H and FFA and wrestling and hunter safety and going hunting and all the different places that my father and mother had to drag me. And now, we racing between basketball and baseball and Lego team building class and this and that and piano and... Sometimes I just need another tractor. So I'm at basketball Thursday night. And I come in the door. And I see that there's no chairs. Parents everywhere. And so I go to the sidelines where the teams are. And take a chair from there. Happens to be where my son is sitting. I sit down in a chair. And he comes off the court. And he looks at me, and I notice that there's something wrong in his eyes. I said, "Hey, come here." He walked over. "What?" "Nothing." "What?" "What?" "Nothing, Daddy." I said, "Tell Daddy what's wrong. I know something's wrong." And with that, my boy fell against my chest and began to cry uncontrollably. I mean, cry. Why? Against my chest. I couldn't even get him to make words. He was just crying so hard. And when he finally settled down, I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "No one wants to play with me." Well, now let me explain to you the myriad of emotions that went through this hillbilly. First of all, the chest stuck out. The hands balled up. And I looked out on that court at all those kids and all those parents and them coaches. And I said, "I can take all of them." Y'all done made my boy cry. You have crossed a bad line. But he continued to cry, and I settled down, and then my heart began to break when I heard the words, "They just won't let me play with them." And I consoled him. I said, "You know what? Don't worry about that. You go out there and do your best. I don't care if your best is just running back and forth across that court the whole time. If you never get a ball, you do that the best you can do it. If your best job is to sit in this chair and cheer your team on, that's what you do. If your best job is to throw that ball at that basket for any reason at any time, I don't care if it goes in or not. You've done your best. That's all you got to do for Daddy." And he brightened up and he went out and played. And he actually got two chances at a basket. My heart broke and stayed that way. And as we climbed in the truck on the way home, inadvertently, without knowing it, because I can do these kind of things, you know, when my wife ain't around, I had bought him a Yoo-Hoo on the way to the basketball practice. See, we're not supposed to give them chocolate and sugar and stuff like that after 8 o'clock at night, but when the warden ain't around, Daddy takes over. And he got in the truck, and there was a cold Yoo-Hoo, and he shared the Yoo-Hoo, and he leaned back against the seat, and he goes, "I feel better," and I couldn't have been happier. Amen. And I heard the scripture, "Jesus wept." And I know, brothers and sisters, I know how hard that was for me to watch that. Because what did you want to do? What do you want to do when you see somebody crying most of the time? If you're like me, you want to what?
Knock them out.
Fix it. Knock them out, yeah. If that's what fixing takes. You want to fix it. You don't want to see your child doing that. You don't want to see your child cry because of the cruelty of things around them. You don't want to see it. And I'll tell you what else you don't want. You don't want to see your brothers and sisters in Christ crying for the same reason. Amen. You don't want to see it. You want to fix it. Now, in my case, to fix something, if I see you crying, I'm going to take you out and get you a root beer sundae. Or a float. Why? Because, well, I like root beer floats, but that's beside the point. That's how I can fix it. But you start to hear Christ and what He was in two simple verses in a Bible that people gloss over. Zip! What's the first thing you hear when you say John chapter 11, verse 35? That's the shortest verse in the Bible. No, it ain't! It is the most powerful. Because in two words, We got everything from Jesus Christ. In two words, you got humanity. God came down. God walking on the earth. Now it's Jesus Christ as the Son born of a woman, walking, experiencing real, not a ghost. You got emotion. All the book scholars talk about different ways to interpret that, and they're probably right. That Christ was not crying because Lazarus was dead. You all know the backstory to it. He had been out doing his ministry, and Martha and Mary had sent word to him, "Our brother Lazarus is sick and dying. Come quickly and heal him." And Christ didn't go. And he saw that as failure. If you go back a couple verses, and you better still have your Bibles open because we're not done, but if you go back a couple of verses, in verse 32, when Mary had reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Stop right there. Several things. He felt sympathy for these people who had lost. But at the same time, I'm sure he was frustrated. I'm sure he was sad in his own heart, because he is teaching them the word. He is teaching them that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I will be resurrected. And you're not hearing it. And what I'm about to do for your brother will be just the opening act for what's about to come. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Oh my goodness. The parent weeping for the children. Crying. Because they hurt. And because he can't fix it right then and there. Jesus had to be so terribly frustrated at that moment. "Here I have been teaching them. I teach my boys all kinds of things. Because that's what dad does do. Here's a hammer, son. Here's a bag of nails. Go out and beat them nails into every piece of wood you can find. And then they come back. And you've taught them how to hold a hammer. Everybody in this room better know how to hold a hammer. You put the hammer handle down in there, four fingers around, thumb goes on the top edge of the handle so you can control it. You don't swing from the wrist, you swing from the elbow. That has been taught to me since walking upright. It's the same thing I taught to my boys. Hands like that, thumb like that, you can direct that hammer, and your hand swings, your wrist locks. And I've taught them that over and over again. And inevitably, what does one of them do? They come in with a mashed thumb, crying. Show Daddy how you held the handle. Frustrated because I've taught them. And now I have to hurt because they've hurt themselves. Jesus has taught and taught and taught and taught, and yet they still don't know. They still don't get it. And so he's effectively saying to them, "My heart breaks. My heart breaks." We see Jesus in that moment soaking up the entire world. Because each and every one of us out here suffer from the same problem. You know what that is? We get so wound up and so worried about so many things and become so anxious and so caught up in everything that we feel we must, we must, we must. And the truth is, the only one that directs us, the only one that saves us, the only one that keeps us alive is Jesus Christ. And nothing on this earth compares to the glory that he has for us. Oh, we're going to suffer. You're going to pray, "God, please." And the next day you're going to wake up thinking he's going to immediately answer the prayer. And he didn't. And he might not for a while. But then when he does, oh, how glorious it feels. I like David's prayer. How much more we gain when prayer is finally answered. How much more do you get that feeling of Jesus Christ when he answers the prayer after you've had to be patient? If he answered everything down the line, every single time you asked him a question, you'd never get it. It would become just as normal as walking. Oh, Jesus, yeah, Jesus, well, whatever. Instead, he makes you depend. He brings you into him. And when you're weeping, and when you're sad, and when the other kids won't play with you, he hurts. And his heart breaks because he knows what he has for you. That's powerful stuff to me. In a child's basketball game, a sermon comes out. Jesus wept. Gregory of Nazianzus got it that time. Nazianzus in AD 31 wrote these words about Jesus Christ. He began his ministry by being hungry. Yet he is the bread of life. Jesus ended his earthly ministry by being thirsty. Yet he is the living water. Jesus was weary, yet he is our rest. Jesus paid tribute, yet he is the king. Jesus was accused of having a demon, yet he cast out demons. Jesus wept, yet he wipes away our tears. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver, yet he redeemed the world. Jesus was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, yet he is the good shepherd. Jesus died, yet by his death, he destroyed the power of death. Jesus wept, yet he wipes away our tears. I'd take Wally's head and rub it on my shirt because I didn't have a kerchief with me. I just kept rubbing his face till he started laughing to get the tears off. How many times, brothers and sisters, how many times have you openly cried out in frustration, in determination that the world was crumbling around you? How many times have you, in those quiet moments when you think that there's nothing else left to give, find yourself sinking down and forgetting just for a moment who cried first to save us? How many times have you done that? I've done it all the time. I still do it today. But show of hands, show me. Say amen. Amen. He wept. He wept to teach us what we have in him. I got a hammer. I can fix that for you. Must not be turned off then, huh? Now you got me crying. He wept. I sat there thinking about it for a second. All the brokenheartedness that surrounds us every day. Somebody made a statement in something I was reading, and I wished I'd have wrote it down, but I didn't. But I'm going to it straight out of memory. Do you know that when a baby is born, they swat it to make sure it's going to get going? Right? Why? Do you know the statement that comes after that? And the guy that actually said this actually made me think. He said that crying is a sign of life. Oh, how pitiful that is. Shouldn't be laughter and joy a sign of life? I think you ought to tickle them right when they come out. Of course, what I think is never in tune with anybody else. But we get so wrapped up in the crying, we get so wrapped up in the thought that Jesus wept for us, that he saw the pain that we're enduring first. And he cried for that. And he still cried for that. If you go back in the Gospel to Luke chapter 19, in the 41st verse, as he approached Israel, as he came up on Jerusalem, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. He was coming in as a king. They had went and got a colt, put blankets down on it so that his perfect body didn't touch the back of that. They laid down palms and coats and whatever else they could get on so that the animal carrying his feet did not let the king so beautifully touch the ground. 7 days later, we killed him. And as he came into that city, he knew. Parents, first day of school, right? Walk them out to the bus. Remember that? And hold of that hand. Little kid approaches the bus. You let go. I know why mamas cry now and why fathers go, I got something in my eye. Because you're sending them out now. Jesus, as he approached Jerusalem, knew what was coming. He knew that he was going to have to be sacrificed. He knew that he was going to go through pain. He knew that people would yet not understand it. Excuse me. He knew that he had to let go. And so he wept. I picture that scene. I picture that scene when I look around at all those suffering and pain, Christians and non-Christians. And I beg you to remember at those moments, the one who crawled up on that tree, the one who allowed himself to be hammered up on that tree, the one who spilled blood on that tree, died for the most incredible reason. That your tears would never be in vain again. That you would always know that even at the lowest, salvation is there. He awaits. And while he wept here on this earth, he holds you ready to come close to him when you come home. Amen. Jesus wept. Let us pray. Father, even though some of us may have never bore children, it doesn't stop us from being a mom or a dad. Because we feel it. Because you taught it to us. In front of us lies the very teachings of the Scripture every day, everything around them, every moment. And so, Father, awaken us to that and open our eyes, our hearts, our ears, that we may receive that message, that we may be able to reach out to someone and show them that while they're crying, there's love waiting. Two little words of your precious son crying. Didn't shed one tear, cried. It says Jesus wept. He controllingly let himself go and then began to sob because of the fear that these people had, he felt in him. And so today, as we struggle against the very world that assails us, we don't need to have that fear when we cry. We need to simply pray unto Him that gave us life and know that while we're here but for a short time, the things that hurt us won't always be. And all we need to do, Father, is just get back out there and just run up and down the court. Oh, how gracious your mercy is. Oh, how great your love is. Oh, how wonderful it is to know you through Jesus Christ, our Savior, your Son. May we always profess it with our mouth. Him that came of a virgin, born on this earth, walked this earth, died for our sins, went down to hell, fought it off, came back, resurrected, and now sits at your right hand, waiting, Father, to welcome us home. And wipe away the tears once and for all. My heart's broken. Pray that you fix it. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you have a particular need this morning, if you're struggling where you're at, if it needs to be that you need to know Christ, you come forward. Even if you just need to pray and you don't need me to pray over for you, you come up here as we prepare to sing this last hymn.
Page 488.